This is the Seabed Daily Text. Why God and politics can't be separated. Mark 12:13-17. Later, they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They came to him and said, "Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by others, because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we?" But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. "Why are you trying to trap me?" he asked. "Bring me a denarius and let me look at it." They brought the coin, and he asked them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then Jesus said to them, "Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And they were amazed at him. Consider this. From the first century to the 21st century, the saying holds true. The only two certainties in life are death and taxes. Jesus' detractors brought these two verities together in this confrontational question. This tax evoked great resentment among the Jews. It was a constant reminder of their subjection to Rome. If Jesus says it's right to pay the tax, he comes off as a sellout to Rome, which would have diminished the authority of his words in the eyes of the Sanhedrin. Had he said it's wrong to pay the tax, he would have drawn the fierce ire of Rome for an act of rebellion. The question was political in nature, but it was also theological. Why? Watch how Jesus responds. But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. "Why are you trying to trap me?" he asked. "Bring me a denarius and let me look at it." They brought the coin and he asked them, "Whose image is this and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. The kicker comes with the inscription. "Tiberius Caesar Augustus, son of the divine Augustus." And on the other, "Pontifus Maximus." Translation: Caesar was divine. The big question was whether paying the tax constituted an act of worship to Caesar, a recognition of his divinity. This is where the Pharisees wanted to trap him. If he said pay the tax, he implied bowing to Caesar. Jesus' response was pure brilliance. Then Jesus said to them, "Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." The denarius, which bore Caesar's image, did indeed belong to Caesar. The denarius was the coin of the realm. Jesus acknowledged that to live under the governance of a state brought certain responsibilities with it, paying taxes being one of them. It's part of the cost of living. Jesus drew a major line in the sand with the rest of his statement. "Give to God what is God's," meant that paying a tax to Caesar with a coin bearing Caesar's image did not imply agreement with the coin's inscription that Caesar was God. The God of Israel was to Caesar as Jesus was to Caiaphas. Living under the governance of a sovereign state and observing its appropriate authority in no way constituted worship of the state's sovereign ruler. This was reserved for God alone. Caesar gets the tax. The coins belong to Caesar. The worship belongs to God. Caesar's claim to divinity is another way of trying to bar God from the politics of the state. It can't be done. And to the extent of people attempt it, they ensure a death warrant for the state. It's a long step from the first century to the 21st century. While our form of government isn't analogous to Caesar's, the words of Jesus hold true. A couple of observations. Paying taxes is the cost of living in a civilized state. Patriotism can be an expression of healthy loyalty and support for national sovereignty. But we must be clear. Only the true and living God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of our worship. The minute the state infringes on the freedom of its people to worship God, it makes the people of God an enemy of the state. It's another conversation, but this gets us close to the context for Jesus' command to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It's one thing to separate church and state, but quite another to separate faith from politics. In fact, it's the separation of church and state that enables the healthy and much-needed exercise of faith in the mix of politics and governance. Jerusalem fell because it put its religious establishment in the place of its God. Rome fell because it put its corrupted leaders in the place of the true God. America, I'll leave it there for today. The prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Lord Jesus, awaken me to the utter depths of this title I so casually attach to your name. You are my Lord and my God. Awaken me to the meaning of this and all its myriad implications. May your kindness lead to my repentance. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. For the glory of your name, Jesus. Amen. The question, where is my primary allegiance? To country or to God? Am I an American Christian, or insert Nigerian or Saudi Arabian, or etc.? Or am I a Christian American? Are my values more shaped by my country than by my faith? This is not a question of choosing one or the other. It's a matter of order and priority. It's a discipleship issue. For the Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.